Counsel, may it please the court, my name is Scott Michalecki. My registration number is 16113, counsel for the appellants, the Arnells. It's a constitutional mandate that private property cannot be taken for public use without fair compensation paid to the landowner. Yet because of the ruling of the trial court, that's exactly what happened here. It's undisputed that the county took 37,641 tons of gravel from the Arnells' property. And based on the ruling of the trial court that we are appealing, the Arnells received exactly zero for that gravel that has a retail value of over $300,000. My argument has 4 points, which I'll enunciate now and then go back and fill in the details. First, the constitutional requirement that the landowner be fairly compensated. Second, that on the prior appeal of this case, the Court of Appeals determined what that standard of damages should be. We submit that that was a new standard. And therefore, third, when the case was remanded to the trial court, there was no evidence that had previously been presented to meet and satisfy this new standard of damages. Therefore, four, when the trial court said, we find that there is no evidence to support the difference in the valuation, so therefore we award zero in damages, the trial court's ruling was an abuse of discretion because it denied our request to present evidence of those damages, resulting in a failure of the constitutional mandate that the Arnells be fairly paid for their losses.
Did you make any kind of an offer of proof below in terms of what exactly your evidence would be?
No, Your Honor, this was submitted on the briefs, and we asked the court for new evidence, pointing out at the trial court that we didn't have the opportunity to present evidence, and we asked for a trial on the issue of damages so that we could present that evidence.
Did you describe the evidence in affidavit or anything like that, or just say you had the evidence?
No, Your Honor, we did not. We simply asked to be able to present that evidence.
Thank you.
On the first point now, filling in the details of your argument, it's clear that the federal and state constitution require just compensation be paid if private property is taken for a public purpose. The Colorado Constitution goes a step further and says that the compensation is to be awarded and determined, quote, in such manner as may be determined by law, close quote. Second point then, at the trial on liability, Senior Judge Plotz determined that the county did in fact we did succeed on our inverse condemnation claim, that the county took material, gravel, and did not pay for it, and that the county damaged and used the Arnells' land and did not pay for it. So at the trial on damages, which was the second trial, we argued that the value of the material taken, in accordance with the statute 38-1-114, should be the fair market value. The 37,000 tons, roughly, of gravel that the party stipulated was taken should be, we believe, valued at fair market value in accordance with that statute.
That claim has been rejected, and that's law of the case.
I understand. So we presented that evidence, and then we also presented evidence on the cost to repair the damage to the land. The county presented no evidence on the value of the gravel and presented evidence on the diminution. The trial court then awarded only the diminution. We appealed asking for the value of the gravel to be awarded. This court, in its prior opinion, said we don't think that the fair market value of the 37 tons is the appropriate standard. Instead, it should be the difference in the 1.8 acres of land from which that 37 tons of gravel was mined, 37,000, before it was taken and after it was taken, and then remanded to the trial court to say, you determine what that measure of damages should be.
Is there a dispute here as to the damages to the residue? Or was your request to put in more additional evidence just going to the before and after value of the 1.8 acres?
Only to the before and after, Your Honor. The standard for damage to property is well established. It can either be the cost to repair or the diminution in value. And the trial court can determine, based on the standards set out in the Slovic case by the Supreme Court, which is the more appropriate and has discretion.
I'm not challenging
that. We presented evidence. The court made its decision. We're not asking for a second bite at that apple.
Okay, so the damage to the residue is off the table.
Correct. That's been determined. The court made its decision. We have no basis to appeal that, and we're not asking for that.
Thank you.
Rather, we're focusing only on that we want to be able to present evidence of what we think was a new standard that this court came up with. And I think it's an important point to realize that in its prior decision, this court did not cite any Colorado court case saying the standard was set out in Fowler or Slovic or anything else. In fact, the court went to other jurisdictions for support for its new standard of the before and after value of the 1.8 acres. And the court was free to do that. As near as we could tell, this was a case of first impression. So you're writing on a blank slate. You're entitled to do that. You set the new standard, and we asked to go back then. It was sent back to the trial court for determination. The third point, though, is that there was no evidence introduced at trial of the before and after of the 1.8. In fact, in your opinion, you specifically said on page 10 that the county's expert, who was a residential appraiser, did not opine as to the value of the 1.8 before and after. The court already found that out. We didn't present any evidence of that. We simply presented evidence of the fair market value of that gravel. Presented evidence also of the cost to mine it, but the court had rejected that. So we didn't present any evidence. So then the county, frankly, seeing that, made a motion for summary judgment on remand and told the trial court, you don't need another hearing, you don't need a trial, base it on the record. And we said, that's not fair. We haven't had a chance to present our evidence on this new standard of damages.
Why is your argument properly preserved if you made no offer of proof as to what the damages would be, either in the context of asking for a trial or in the context of opposing summary judgment, such as, you know, by a 56F affidavit?
Your Honor, you established in your prior opinion exactly what that measure of damages would be, and it's undisputed that we didn't present any of that evidence. And so the issue is whether or not to allow us to present that evidence based on that new standard.
And my question is, how can we review that without having any idea what your evidence might be?
I'm not asking you to review and say that my evidence was right. And I'm not asking you to set aside the trial court's decision as being not supported by the evidence, or that the evidence was against the weight of the evidence, because we didn't get that chance. I'm not asking you to make a decision that the proper amount of damages is X dollars. Rather, I'm simply asking this court to rule that the trial court, in refusing to allow us to present evidence, abused its discretion so that we can then go back to the trial court with a new trial and present that evidence. A trial court abuses its discretion when its rulings are manifestly unfair or unreasonable. And we don't think that any party presented evidence, but even if the county, as the trial court tried by looking at its appraiser, even if the county comes up with some way of saying, okay, fine, we did present evidence of the 1.8 before and after, we did not. That's undisputed. And all we're asking for is a chance to be able to present that. It's unfair for the trial court, for this court to have this standard, and for us not to have the chance to present that evidence.
Counsel, was there evidence about just the per acre value of the land generally?
That's exactly what the testimony was. And the county's expert, it's important to note a couple of distinctions, or a couple of pieces of information about him. First, he was qualified as an expert in residential appraisals. He specifically said he was not qualified to testify to the opinion of commercial property or mining property. He could give no opinion on that. He had no qualifications. And if you look at his testimony in the record, which we cite in our brief, he was giving his opinion as to the value of all 74 acres with several different conditions. One, if the county had stayed in the proper boundaries. Two, if they had put it back to the proper slope. Three, if it had been seeded, and so on. But it was based on the entire property. And so, yes, sir, he did opine that in that 74 acres, each parcel was worth a little more than $2,000 per acre. So that he then said the difference in having that 1.8 acres mined on the entire 74 was about $4,000. But he did not opine, and this court already noted, as to the difference in that 1.8. So when it got remanded then back to the trial court and it did not hold a hearing on damages, allow us to present any evidence, it's no surprise that the trial court found there's no basis to conclude there's any difference in value. It's exactly right, because there was no testimony on that point.
Presumably the damage would be worth somewhat, the difference would be worth somewhat less than $4,000. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, the damages for what, sir?
The difference in value. If the land's, yeah, of the 1.8.
I think you're right in looking at the treatise of Nichols on eminent domain, when he suggests that when an eminent domain occurs with minerals, and an important distinction too, he says that it should be done with an expert, an appraiser with a specialty in appraising mineral properties or valuing mineral businesses. So the analysis would be this 1.8 acres has, for simplicity, 36,000 tons of gravel. Now it doesn't. What's the difference? An easier analogy would be 100 acres, and underneath with the mineral rights is 100,000 barrels of crude. How much is it worth, that land with the drilling rights, versus when that oil is gone? Same situation here. That gravel in that 1.8 acres was marketable. We had our expert testify as to what that fair market value was. But what the valuation would be, according to Nichols, would be how much is that worth, the 1.8 acres, with 37,000 tons of gravel. You'd have to then take into account the cost of mining it, take into account the supply and demand, what's the fair market price, minus the cost, how much would somebody be willing to pay for that land. That's going to be the standard of damages, and we've already hired an appraisal, as Nichols suggested, who's got that certification to be able to testify. And that's what we need to be able to do. I'd like to reserve my remaining time for rebuttal, please.
Just one final question.
Yes, sir.
Was there anything in the submitted in the trial court as to what your expert would testify to as if called on that very point?
I don't remember, no, because the argument made by the county was that the trial court should look only at the record. And we said, no, you can't. That's not fair. We need to present evidence because we haven't yet. So no, we didn't get the opportunity to do that.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Garrett Sheldon, attorney registration number 3275. I'm the Huerfano County attorney and have been for this entire case. I think what we're talking about is the value what we paid for this lease and whether it incorporates what they're claiming. And it's our position that it does. What you pay for a lease, in my mind, incorporates three things. First of all, and if we can pretend for a moment we didn't go past the boundaries of this thing, it's just an ordinary lease. A mineral lease allows us the right to trespass, to go on the property, to bring our equipment up there, our heavy equipment, and make noise and raise dust, and that's what we pay for. The second thing, in this particular lease, we got 70,000 tons, more or less, it was actually 69,999. Of sand and gravel. It's interesting to point out that we never surpassed that. So when they refer to material wrongfully taken, I don't think that's proper. I think it should be instead rightfully taken from the wrong place. We just went in the wrong place and mined minerals. We understand that we should pay damages for that, but it can't be more than 4,000. We could have purchased that 2 acres for that 1.8 acres for for $4,000, and that's what the expert said. But the third thing we get when we get the lease is the right to depreciate the lessee's property. So what they're saying are additional damages is included in the lease price. If at the end of the lease, we both walk away from it and everyone's satisfied, we have mined 70,000 tons of material. And of course, their property, that 9.5 acres, is depreciated. But they expect it to be depreciated, and that's why we pay. That's what we pay for. And that's incorporated in the amount we pay for the lease. And they can't later come in and say, well, we're going to sue you for, we just discovered our property depreciated, so we're going to sue you for that. No, they can't do that. That's incorporated in the lease, the amount of money we paid for the lease. So it's not an additional amount of damages. It includes an expectation that the property will decrease in value. So I don't think it's a new measure of damages, as they assert. And the trial court, I think, followed the original mandate very carefully and computed on remand the exact value based on that. We paid $3,500 for 10 years, that's $350 a year. we mined, that we had the right to mine 9.5 acres. The first judge found that we had wrongfully mined, mined for 2 years. So what the trial court did, Judge Appel, is merely some basic arithmetic. And take the 3,500, 350 a year, and compute it for 1.8 acres rather than the total 9.5 acres, and you come out with what we argued, which is $132.64. Now, that's the value, and it seems kind of low. But it's only in comparison to what they've been asking in this case, and that's why it's being litigated so much, I have to presume.
So let me just if I have one fact straight. Did the county mine on the leased land at all, or did they?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so you mined a lot on the leased land and then just went over a little bit onto the other.
Right, we went in one direction rather than the other.
I see.
And we made a deal with the state. Without their knowledge, and that was the problem, but we gave up 1.8 acres we could have mined in exchange for this, and I thought we were square on that, you know, but apparently we weren't.
And so the 70,000 tons that was mined, or the nearly 70,000, was that mined from the entire parcel, or just from that was the amount that was taken from the 1.8 acres?
No, that was the entire parcel. Only some of it was mine. I think they said it's like 26,000. We've also established the lease. It's, if you want to do it tonnage-wise, it's 5 cents a ton. If we did the whole 70,000, and we didn't. And we presented that evidence, and we also presented evidence of some similar leases, which were a little bit more, but were in the ballpark. They were like 7 or 8 cents, but they were more recent. But this is what the parties agreed to, and I think it's a very good measure. This is an unusual case, and it's a good case, because we already have a lease between the parties. We don't have to go someplace else. The lease between the parties, arm's length transaction, this is what they agreed to. And within that lease payment is a understanding that it includes any damages they may suffer.
Was there any evidence presented by the Arnells that there was something unusual or unique about the 1.8 acres that you trespassed on as contrasted with the 9.5 acres that you were supposed to mine?
No. And a hypothetical would be that I thought of if that 1.8 acres were differently zoned or was closer to the highway and they could build a store on it or something. But this is just leased property for at its highest and best use, which is the sand and gravel lease. So we feel that trial court made no mistake, and certainly didn't commit an error by exercising its discretion on the remand, followed this court's directives exactly, and urge this court to sustain the trial court's opinion. And if there are no more questions, I think I'm finished. Thank you.
First, to clarify the factual issue you asked about, Judge Russell, 37,641 tons of gravel was mined from the 1.8 acres. The parties stipulated to that calculation performed by our expert witness, Mr. Gesso. So the rest of it was taken from the other land. And what happened is the county was mining in a certain direction and then veered up this way and crossed the boundary line from that land. And that answers also, I think, your question, Judge Webb, about anything unique about that property. Yes, it contained 37,641 tons of gravel. And the fact that they didn't mine from 1.8 over here and took it over here, you can't assume they're interchangeable.
Why not?
Because, Your Honor, as testified by Mr. Gesso, gravel, like gold and oil, isn't everywhere.
And the fact that it was over here doesn't mean it's over here. And without performing boring tests and everything else, you can't assume that it is a fair exchange.
Did you put on any evidence that the mix, the spread of the gravel deposits was different on the 1.8 acres than it was on the 9.5?
Yes, sir. At the first, the trial and issue of damages, Mr. Gesso, our expert, when asked by Mr. Arnett, by Mr. Sheldon, that couldn't you assume that there's still that semi on the gravel in 1.8, said, absolutely not. Gravel, like gold and other properties, goes in veins.
And that's so, a different question.
Okay.
He said he would not make that assumption.
He said,
did he present an opinion that the gravel deposits on the 9.5 were different than they were on the 1.8? An affirmative opinion.
He did not. He said he did not perform those tests. He said you cannot make that assumption without performing tests, and he was not asked to do that. So there was no evidence of that. But the issue as to the value of the land, the $4,000 is based on the value as a residential. It was appraised residential. The value of this land, the 1.8 acres with the minerals, is not as residential. Just as the land out in Weld County that has 10,000 barrels of crude beneath it, you can build a nice house on it, and it may be worth so much, but it's worth more as a mining property. And that's what this court said it has to be valued as, the 1.8 before and after the minerals were taken. And there's been no testimony in that point. So that's what we need to have the remand for.
Why isn't the lease the best measure of the before and after value?
Your Honor, a couple of things. First, in determining the value, the court has to look at, in accordance with prior decisions, the loss to the landowner. And you've determined that the rental value is one of those components. And we agree, and we didn't argue, that rental value, as determined by the parties, is a fair valuation. But that did not account for the fact that they took the gravel they weren't supposed to take.
Well, I guess that's where, and I apologize for anything, that's where I don't understand your argument. For the 9.5 acres, the lease gave them the right to take gravel. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Why isn't that the best measure of the value of the land before and after as to the 1.8 acres?
I think that that's a fair value for the rental value, because that was the lease, and it set forth as to where they could go and where they could take gravel. But when they strayed outside that, the standard is going to be the three elements that this court said that have to be filled in. What's the fair rental value? And I agree, the lease, that's an arm's length exchange. That sets out a fair value for the rental.
But the rental includes the right to take the gravel.
For the county, yes, but that doesn't measure our loss. We lost $300,000 worth of gravel that the county took. And the fact that we had a lease that had they stayed in the balance, they had the right to take some gravel, is irrelevant. We have to be able to show what the fair market value of that is. And in similar cases, and again, we were denied that right. And if you look at the Fowler case and the Slobig case, where in both times, especially we'll start with Fowler, the Supreme Court said the measure of damages for the fair rental value can be based on changes to the property, but only that occurred during the temporary taking. And then said, so let's remand to the trial court because there was not the landowner wasn't presented the opportunity to provide that measure of damages. So the Supreme Court said, go back to the trial court, have a new trial and measure of damages. So in fairness, the landowner could have a chance to meet that new standard. We are asking for that exact same opportunity to present that damage. Thank you.
We thank both counsel. We appreciate the quality of the arguments. The case stands submitted. A written opinion will issue in due course.